We are joined now by our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, my friend. Thank you for doing this in David's well-deserved trip off. And I know this is just one more thing piled on the assistant news director who does so much work for us every day. And thank you, Jim Lavoulis.
Oh, well, my pleasure. Well, first off to a topic we discussed yesterday, a group of 16 states, including New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and Maine, has filed a lawsuit in federal court against President Trump's declaration of a national emergency, calling the president's decision to use executive power to fund a border wall unconstitutional.
Jim, this could go either way. When you think about it, the problem here is that the Supreme Court of the United States is going to be the ultimate decider in this one. And Trump has a majority of Republicans on that court. Now, there are those people who say that it is not the job of the Supreme Court to be political, but rather to do what's right according to the law. And of course, we know that that is not the way that it works. That's why it's so important to understand what the role of John Roberts will be in all of this. Roberts is a guy who says there are no Democrats or Republicans on the court. He's wrong, of course, but he has been willing to put his money where his mouth is and to break some pretty ugly ties. So Roberts, of all people, turns out to be the right guy to make a decision as to whether or not this thing makes sense. It doesn't. The House of Representatives initiates legislation that will appropriate money, and the idea that the president can say whenever he wants to, well, okay, I declare a national emergency, I'm going to move the money around, and then go on television, tell the American people, I don't really need to do this. Some emergency, right? So the way that this is shaping up right now is that it's anybody's guess. All of these states are properly saying, no, you can't do this. But it's going to be up to the president of the United States to make a decision as to whether he can get away with this. And if he can, which he obviously believes he can, then we're going to have to see what happens.
Do you think that this legal challenge provides any sort of cover for Republicans in the Senate who disagree with the president's decision to come out and say that and take action?
Well, let's face it, Jim, they're a cowardly bunch. They are between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, the constituents that 30% of America, 32% loves Trump, and they love him more than they love their senators. And if they vote against Trump, they're going to take away their franchise to be senators. And so they're going to change their minds as little as they can. They're going to hide as much as they can. And then that's going to be the way that it is. There is some speculation that the Senate is willing for the first time, or a majority of the Senate, to upbraid Trump on this latest plan. And if that happens, both houses will pass legislation disallowing the president's plan, and it will go to the president, who will, of course, veto it. Whether there's enough to override that veto, I doubt very much.
And now President Trump says former FBI Director Andrew McCabe lied following interviews with 60 Minutes and NPR, in which McCabe said Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein discussed wearing a wire to record the president. Trump says McCabe and Rosenstein were planning an illegal act. So, Alan, we continue to see some back and forth fallout from these two major interviews.
We do. Look, here is the liar in chief. Told more lies than anybody can ever remember in American history, this being Trump. And now he's talking about other people lying? I don't think so. I watched that McCabe interview with great interest on 60 Minutes, and frankly, I thought that he made a very credible presentation. Whether or not this was meaningful, this business of taping the president, I don't know. I think what was happening is there was chaos among them. They were throwing around a lot of different ideas, and none of them really worked.
The New York Times is reporting that people close to President Obama say the former president does not intend to endorse anyone for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. If that holds true, what role will his relative absence from the race mean?
Well, a lot of people who want to run for president who have connections to Obama, and obviously he's in a situation where he doesn't want to make those decisions. However, when it comes to the Republican versus the Democrat, you can believe he's going to be out there and he's going to be working very, very hard to make sure that whoever the Democrats come up with get elected. I understand his strategy. It just has to shake out a lot more before he makes himself known.
Yesterday, Alan, you mentioned it is getting pretty late for former Vice President Joe Biden to enter the Democratic race. Do you have any sort of cutoff date in mind?
No, I'm not his campaign manager, and it's clear that, as has always been the case in the past, this is a guy who'd like to be president, but we don't anoint presidents. What we do is we say, you got to get out there, you got to put yourself forward, and you got to say what you think. Now, Senator Amy Klobuchar, who I like a lot, was on last night and said something I really disagree with, and that is she went forward and said that she does not believe that everybody deserves a free college education. She's wrong. I mean, if we say we want to create equality of opportunity in this country, then the whole idea here is to make sure that we pay for kindergarten and grade school and high school. And then we say, oh, but the cutoff is for getting ahead in life, the cutoff is going to be college. If we don't pay for college, that takes an awful lot of people who can't afford it out of the race. Hey, I went to Hunter College. It was free when I went. And I look around and I saw all kinds of people who would not have been there, who would not have been successes in life they are if they had to pay for it, because they couldn't have paid $100, let alone $500. It's time for this country to say, okay, people deserve health care and people deserve education.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, thank you.
And thank you for getting up early, Jim. You'll get back to your regular sleep patterns later.